Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in to the latest Behind the Bets podcast. I'm Doug Kazarian. We are taping this on Tuesday, May 28th. Daniel Dopp, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Doug. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Just getting over something. Had a head cold. Went back to reunion weekend. It wasn't my reunion, but it was good to go back and see other classes and friends there. And I got into the pool. Put the Speedo on.
Wow.
Did a little alumni water polo game, my friend.
Wait, like an actual Speedo?
An actual Speedo.
Doug Kazarian.
Not the same one that I fit into in college.
Okay, that's fair.
This one was much larger.
Different physique.
Different, but similar tightness.
Sure.
On the Speedo, right?
Sure.
I can't believe I did that crazy game for 10 years.
Yeah. That's like a real... I mean, what do you do when you're done with college after you play a game like that?
So I flirted with the idea of going to Australia and playing for like a year or two. That's like a very... It's like there's European leagues that are legit. Like Olympians play there.
It's sure.
Top level. And there's... I think Spain has a league too and stuff like... There's... Like Australia would have been fun. It would have been like a party. And I would have been... You know, I would have been good out there. You know.
Crikey, mate.
From when I was in college, that was like where I was going to go for a year or two. No real future there, but just to have some fun.
Sure.
Keep playing. You're in great shape at the time. But I had prolonged this career, starting the career long enough. I had to kind of get on and paying my dues.
Make the adult decision and become a
grown-up.
That
was the only decision adult I made since college.
That's fair.
It was fun, but a little under the weather. But here we are, NBA Finals time. Preston Johnson, pro bettor, and also one of my fellow misfits on ESPN's Daily Wager will be joining me momentarily, a fellow bearded man, Dopp.
Yeah, so respect that.
So you excited for the game one of the finals?
Very excited. A lot of decisions to be made. Can't wait to hear the conversation you and Preston have, because it's going to probably sway the way that I go with this series.
Yeah, it's fascinating because of Durant's injury and so much unknown.
Exactly.
So let's get to it.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
We now welcome in my man and a beard you know from Daily Wager, Preston Johnson. How are you, dude?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Appreciate your taking time away from Mickey and Minnie for the podcast. How is Disneyland
right.
World and all that fun stuff?
It was good. Weather's been nice. Nice to get out of Las Vegas occasionally.
Right. So let's talk NBA Finals. Well, first and foremost, you do projections based on your math model, all that fun stuff. So what do your projections say? What's like the baseline starting point?
Sure. My baseline starting point assumes Durant's out the entire series, and that is that the Warriors win the series 74% of the time, which equates to about a true line of about minus 285. So I put that into perspective for people that have seen the line. The Warriors are about minus 300 most places, and the Raptors are plus 250. So essentially both would be bad bets. My line kind of sits right in between both. And so for me, as far as the series price is concerned, you know, I don't really want to get involved, and that's one of the reasons why even before the playoffs, and I'd bet the Raptors to win the East, I didn't want to bet them to win at all. I really didn't want to get involved betting against the Warriors, let alone, you know, a Warriors team, you know, with Kevin Durant. Now, obviously, he's out, and, you know, the Raptors have a better chance now. But overall, you know, the Warriors are still the better team, and I expect them to win more often than not.
So let's talk about that. You have that baseline with, you know, the model, and but you also interject your opinion, like everyone. So do you think that model is accurate with what your projections have, or do you think it's a little off, blah, blah, blah?
Well, it's interesting how much perception actually changes from a couple games to a couple games. Like, the Bucks were up 2-0, and no one gave Toronto a shot, myself included, after game three, that double OT win.
Yeah, they almost barely won. It was almost 3-0 Bucks.
Yeah, it could have been 3-0 Bucks, and I thought game four, I thought Milwaukee would bounce back, and then they got crushed, and obviously that changed everything. But, I mean, if Toronto doesn't win four in a row and win the East and pull off this, you know, upset, so to speak, I mean, are we really talking about them as an actual contender against Golden State? And people, a week ago, we were talking about how Golden State just swept the Blazers, and, I mean, people forget, Steph, we'll talk about this for MVP stuff, too, for the NBA Finals MVP, but I mean, he averaged 37-8-7 in four games in the Western Conference Finals, and that was coming off of his huge, I think he had 33 in Game 6 in Houston. I'm not sure where the disconnect is from that to now of why people think that Toronto has a better chance. I think technically, schematically, just from like basketball standpoint, the Bucks would have been a worse matchup, or excuse me, the Bucks would have been a better matchup for Golden State. And so Toronto being a worse matchup because they have a guy like Kawhi, they are, I think, just more experienced in that realm, and it showed in the Eastern Conference Finals. And they have guys like Danny Green and Marc Gasol have also played against the Warriors pretty regularly. I think there's something, and even Serge Ibaka some, there's something to that that I think maybe their defense is just going to grind them down a little harder, wear them out a little more. But when it's all said and done, yeah, I think the price is pretty close. I think if you played this out, you know, four times, yeah, the Raptors will probably get one out of the four or so.
What would your series price be if Durant was fully healthy?
It's only, he's only about a 5% uptick, so 79%, which is like minus 320 something, if
see,
I recall.
I thought,
yeah, like,
I thought,
like 326.
Yeah, I thought this would be like way high if Durant were healthy.
Yes, I think, I mean,
like
you
five,
and you know,
$6,
we've talked plenty.
You know, like I tweeted something about this, people went crazy. Like, I thought it'd be like $6, $7. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it got up a crazy amount. If you remember last year, now obviously that Cavs team a year ago with just LeBron and a bunch of misfits was not as good as this team, but like we had John Murray of the Westgate say, like, our computer has it like 1 to 50.
yeah.
Now we couldn't post that as a series price. Now last year the Warriors had home court too, but I thought this would be like, I wasn't like putting a line. I was like, it wouldn't surprise me if Durant said, hey, I'm healthy, I'm playing game one, and this line was like 600-700. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if the market drove it up. Now,
yeah, that would have surprised
case.
Me. yeah.
But that's not the case.
This is what we have to look at is, I mean, we talked about it, but like the line without Durant I thought was crazy low in the Portland series. They were only minus 500.
That was
and
stupid.
So I think,
yeah, that was,
yeah, in general, I think the reaction to no Durant was too drastic. Then they, you know, swept and then they moved on, and I think it's probably about fair now. But that time to really make money on the Warriors and take advantage of the Durant stuff was in that Portland series, or, you know, in game where they were getting 7.5 points at game six in Houston and they won the game outright. Like, I mean, that was a game, and we bet the Warriors in that one. But that was one where they were just, I think the market was reacting too drastically to Kevin Durant, because what happened, and they run great offense, it's sophisticated, but generally when you lose a guy like Kevin Durant, the guys that are replacing those shots aren't named Steph Curry or Klay Thompson.
Right.
For the Warriors, they are. And that's like not really much of a drop-off. Now, they're a little more thin, and it seems like the Raptors can wear them down a little more, make them work harder. They don't have as much, you know, isolation opportunity with Kevin Durant if they're stuck late in the shot clock. Like, there's some things he does that are great, and defensively they're not nearly as good either. So, I mean, he's obviously a positive to the team, and they would have a better chance with him to beat the Raptors or whoever it may be. But overall, I just don't think his impact is as drastic as people probably realize.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I did like the Rockets in that game six. But and that was
oh,
wrong.
That's right.
That
I
was wrong. So that. I can't yeah. take credit for
Sorry.
That. I did love the Warriors at $5 against the Blazers, and we loved game one and all that fun stuff. So it is crazy. It's 31-1, and the only game they lost was that game in Orlando a couple months ago. It was a back to back. They actually were down at half like they usually are. Remember, they lost the buzzer beater in Miami on the Dwayne Wade crazy 3-pointer. And then
yeah.
the next day
yeah.
they go to Orlando, they're trailing at halftime, then huge third quarter, true to form. Get up double digits, I believe, and then choke that away. So it could have been undefeated. I think it's just interesting, the perception that you brought up with the Raptors, because what if they lose that game six? Because the Bucks led for what, 3.5 quarters? And then let's say they win
yeah.
game seven in, like, you know, rock fight 85-80 that some of these game sevens are. What would the series – and then Durant – you know, like, I just thought there's a lot of moving parts. I just think people are really high on – Toronto, and we're forgetting some of the eggs that they can lay for about a half the game. Like, they're known for some just bad stretches. I don't really think they're going to lay a giant egg in a couple of these games. I just think they're going to have giant stretches, which just makes me just – I can't back them.
One thing I will say that's interesting is that the three teams that the Raptors have faced so far in the playoffs, starting even with the Magic, then the Sixers and Bucks, all ranked higher this season in defensive efficiency than the Warriors. So if anything, and no Durant, right? So maybe it's a little bit easier in general on the Raptors to score. You'll see less of those dry spells that they had.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, they had a few against Milwaukee especially. But on the flip side, obviously, the Warriors are, you know, tougher to defend as anybody. I think they're more sophisticated in what they do than what the Bucks were trying to do. And the Bucks really made no adjustments at all series, and Toronto figured it out, and then it showed. They won four in a row. So we'll see, but I think it actually tends. And I don't have a big enough edge to bet it yet, but I kind of like the overs, at least especially early in the series, because of that. It takes some time for both teams to make some defensive adjustments, and my projection is closer to 216.5, and you know, if it keeps coming down a little bit, I may jump in and play that for game one.
We're just coming down that Durant is traveling to Toronto. So Nick Frieda on the show said he may not. He's already been ruled out game one. Chance for game two. We'll see. It's a 3 to 4 week injury. Wednesday marks 3 weeks. So, and game three is not till next Wednesday, which is just crazy if you think about it. But that's just, you know, Warriors catch a break there. So this, like, for me, I just think Toronto's now, let me backtrack. When we had Brian Windhorst on the show, on the podcast, like the last time, he said it's unfair to talk about the Raptors offense more than you do the defense. Like, I mean, you have to just respect their D. So, yeah, they have trouble scoring and they can be kind of too reliant on Kawhi, but their defense is certainly up to snuff, and he's 100% right. So it is going to be interesting. My only thing is, and I, for the life of me, I've not been able to find the soundbite or the article, but there was one of these finals. It was Kyrie talking about game ones going against the Warriors is so hard because they just can't simulate it in practice. And it's understandable.
Yeah.
Twofold. One is you don't have a Steph or Clay to run around in practice, right? Number two, just their offensive sets are really complicated, and a lot of the slip screens, especially the offense they run without Durant, right? That's much more misdirection. So he said game ones and getting that game one is so important. I think it was 2 years ago, which made LeBron so focused on getting that game one, and that's why he was so upset at J.R. Smith. Anyways, the thing is I don't think they're – like, they made a nice adjustment to Giannis. It's just a different offense they're facing. So while they do have a lot of length on the back front court and they have good backcourt defenders, I just think it's going to take some time to adjust and familiarize that I think the defense – what they did to Giannis is going to be just so different, going to require such a different approach than what they do to the Warriors, and it's going to require switching. So I don't care who Kawhi's assigned to guard. They're going to switch a bunch. They're going to have to.
Yeah, they'll have to, and they can't really do the thing where you sag off of Steph Curry on a screen, or if you double him, then you're leaving Draymond wide open to make plays. One more thing to add to that Kyrie point about prepping defensively. I'm not sure if I recall the Warriors in overtime in that J.R. Smith game where he failed the shooting. I think they ended up covering in overtime.
They almost did. J.R. made a three. They won by like 5 or 6. It was like 8.
Okay.
And the line was 9, I want to say, or it was 10. And like J.R. Smith hit a kind of a meaningless three with like 30 seconds to go.
The three swung it.
But it would have covered. It would have covered.
Okay.
Or had a chance.
So before that game, you could blindly fade LeBron James in game one and profit. I think until that game, that was the first time he didn't lose a game one against the spread. Even the Oklahoma City Thunder series, when they finally beat and he won a championship, they lost game one, then they won the next four, if I recall. And there was something to it. And I mean, granted, LeBron deserves all the credit in the world for actually getting to the NBA Finals, whatever it was, 8 or 9 times in a row. But he did it in the East. And he did it against teams getting through to the finals that were all inferior to whoever they played in the NBA championship. And especially like the Warriors, you go from beating, you know, the Boston Celtics with Terry Rozier and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and then you have to play game one against the Warriors. Like, that's a really tough jump to make after playing Eastern Conference competition. These playoffs are so dragged out, like, for an entire month or sometimes longer. And so I think that generally is part of that game one toughness Kyrie's referring to, as well as you have to – they just didn't play anyone very good, and then they had to play the Warriors. Where I think it's different this time around is kind of reversed, where the Raptors had to play two really good teams. They beat them both, and the Warriors just swept the Portland Trail Blazers. They've had all this time off. I don't like that angle as much this time around, because I think the East was stronger. The Raptors' path was actually more difficult than the Warriors was this time around. Just a unique little tidbit there.
That's a great observation. By the way, I just want to clarify. So it was a 12-point game with 30 seconds to go, and J.R. Smith, J.R. Smith hit a three to make it – oh, excuse me, it was 11, made it 8, and then 2 free throws. Remember Tristan Thompson had like a flagrant foul and on a drive-by by Livingston?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think the line was
10 and a half, I believe. So it was 11, hit a three, and then – So J.R. Smith really almost got on people's bad side with the snafu at the end of regulation, and then that. So, I really like the Warriors. Now, I think I'd almost rather just wait to get a Durant update. Now, if that costs me 50 cents on the series price, and they say he's definitely coming back Game Three or whatever, I think I'd rather just lay the 350 if I knew he was coming back. Because there's a chance he's like, you know what, he's still 2 weeks away or whatever, maybe game seven or something like that. Then that gives me a little cause for concern, But I said a week ago that they need him. I'm not so sure anymore.
The problem with that is if you wait, it's not going to cost you just 50 cents unless they're, I mean, if they win game one, the price is going to change.
No. I meant the update tomorrow. Like, okay. They're going to reevaluate him
on
Wednesday.
Like, if he's going to play game two. Okay. Right. Yeah, gotcha.
I think they said they weren't going to reevaluate him until Wednesday, and that was a week ago. So I just feel like I need more information if I'm going to go heavy and lay $3. Now, I just have to ask the question. Worst case scenario is he doesn't play at all. Like, am I willing to lay $3 with no Durant at all?
I think you're better off. I think if you really do like, and this gets into the MVP discussion a little bit, if you like the Warriors to win anyways, you can get Steph Curry to win the MVP at minus 140. That's such a cheaper option that in theory is almost the same bet. If the Warriors do win it all, I tried to convince myself yesterday, I was talking to a friend too, that Draymond at 10-1 maybe was worthwhile because he'll play the distributor, he'll get triple, double type numbers. He'll play defensively on Kawhi some, Iguodala will play some as well, but when it's all said and done, I mean, he hasn't won, and we actually were talking to, was it Nick yesterday? I was, and you guys were when you guys did Daily Wager, and he even said the team wants to get Steph this MVP if possible.
Right.
He's done so much for him, except he hasn't won one because the first time they won, it was actually Iguodala that won Finals MVP, and then Durant's won the last two. And so the team wants Steph to get one, add it to his, array of stuff and achievements for this franchise and this historic run they're on. And he's only minus 140. So if you like the Warriors anyway, sure, you can lay some at minus 300. Lay some at minus 140 Steph MVP because I think it's a very similar bet. Probably should be in the minus 200s. Unless Clay just went supernova, unless Durant came back when they were down 0-2 in game three and then they won and then maybe Durant gets it, something like that. But when it's all said and done, I think it's Steph's year to get it. And he's 37-8-7 point guard Steph Curry in the Western Conference Finals. I know it's the Blazers, but still remarkable. I think he's on a mission.
You have to keep in mind you're talking to someone who's been emotionally, financially burned by backing Tim Duncan in the 2007 NBA Finals for MVP rather than just betting on the Spurs. I tried to get Q.
The reverse.
And Tony Parker. Yeah. They got me. So, no, it's a fair point. And I just thought the Cavs were a slam dunk in 07 to lose. And that was, they got swept, obviously. But I worry about getting too cute. I worry about Durant coming back. Hey, you can get him at 20-1. Like you said, Draymond, especially with the defense, could get it. But
yeah,
you're getting
possible.
Huge break,
especially
from $3.
If it went like 7 games.
Yeah, you're getting a huge break as well from $3 to $1.42. I think. Well, let me say this, and I'm going to say this on air tonight. You're an absolute idiot if you bet Kawhi Leonard at plus 250.
Yeah, that's probably true.
He's not going to win the MVP on the losing team. LeBron got votes a couple years ago. He averaged a triple-double. But you're not going to have that issue. Like, if you bet plus 250 when you can get the Raptors at plus 275, you're an idiot.
Yeah. It's very unlikely Kyle Lowry or someone like that is pulling this off. It's either the Raptors are winning and Kawhi gets it anyway, or the Warriors are winning. I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, even if you think he's going to win MVP, you don't get plus 250. Bet plus 275 on the series.
Get a better price. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So I guess it's to your point, what's more likely, that Kawhi gets the MVP on the losing team or Lowry gets it on the winning team, or Lowry, Ibaka, whoever? I mean, you get just take the plus 275 with the Raptors. Now, what about game one? I like the Warriors. I think what I touched on earlier about their preparing for that offense, blah, blah, blah. We certainly see how the bigs of the Blazers had a tough time with the Warriors. I think that's the main reason they're 18-1. Now, they were the road team, I think, in one of those, and that was last year's Western Conference Finals against the Rockets. So they've had home court, so they've been big favorites. The 18-1. They're 11-8 ATS in those games, so not overwhelming like 18-1, but I like this spot for the Warriors, and I think the rest actually helped them because they had Iguodala nicked up. Steph's left hand nicked up. Maybe Boogie plays, but I don't think it's going to matter for game one. So I think the rest in general helped them.
I think, now this, there's no science behind this. My numbers say there's no actual genuine edge here. But just straight looking at this as a guy who's bet on a lot of games and watched a lot of basketball, I mean, I would be genuinely shocked if the Warriors went down 0-2 in Toronto. I think you, it's one of your, it's like a mini martingale that you like to do occasionally, but
yes.
you bet the Warriors in game one, and if they cover, you're good. You pocket the win. You don't bet game two. If they lose, you can bet game two as well. And in my opinion, I think they are winning game one or going 1-1 in those first two games way more often, at least often enough, compared to going 0-2, that it's profitable long term. Now, again, there's no edge. My number is straight pick in this game. You can get plus one. It's not worth betting, generally. But I just think something tells me they're either going to win game one or game two. And so if it's game one, just bet the first one and you can pocket a win. If they end up going 1-1, then you lose a little juice. I just don't think they're going 0-2, down 0-2 enough. And if they are, then you know, things get really interesting, right? They're going to be going home. They might be a slight dog to win the series. There'll be a lot of discussion. But I think they do get game one as well, just kind of my hunch. But no genuine edge there to bet as far as the numbers go.
And obviously if they lose game one, they'll be favored by what in game two, like 2.5?
Yeah, they'd be inflated a little bit. So you'd have to lay, yeah, probably a short number like 2 or 2.5.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. So what are their home, let's say it's 1-1 going back to Oracle. What would you make game three line, like 5.5?
Ooh, I should have looked before we jumped on the call.
So much depends how the games go though, you know?
Yeah, it's probably more than that. Even at 1-1, my guess is it's at least 6 or 6.5. So these NBA playoff home away splits are, the swings are more like at least like 7 points generally, not too low. So yeah, I would guess maybe as high as 7, but 6 or 6.5 sounds closer.
Yeah, see, I don't think they're going to lose a home game, and they may only have 2. Like it may be split in Toronto,
right.
Then they go up 3-1, and maybe the Raptors
finish
show up. Yeah, maybe. I mean, they've lost one series in 5 years. And that was when they were up 3-1, had a suspension, other stuff went crazy. And that was against a team that was pretty darn loaded in the Cavs.
You may have the numbers in front of you. How much does Golden State in 5 pay then? If you don't think they're going to lose at home, and you think they can get game one, then you're basically getting that price on them in game 5 to win it all, right, when they'd probably be about pick.
4-1.
Yeah, so if you like that game one and then the Warriors not losing at home, you should be betting Warriors in 5 at 4-1.
Yeah, probably, because then you're getting 4-1 on game 5 money line.
Right, which should be about a coin flip.
If I believe that they're going to hold serve at home. Yeah, so you can always play out.
Exactly.
Right? It's interesting.
Yeah, worth looking at.
Or Warriors in 5 or 6, so it's $4 plus 250. That's, you know, 310, right? If you want to assume the same exact expected value.
Yeah, if you're just doing like an average out, you could, right. Yeah, you could, just, you know, technically you could bet both and profit if it lands one of them for sure.
I think that's what I would do, 5 or 6. Because 6, coming home, the closeout, you know, that's probably.
You would only do that if you think Toronto's winning 2 out of 3 at home, which kind of sounds like less likely.
Well,
I mean,
so yeah, obviously,
either of them.
What makes it all so interesting is the Durant health, right? The unknown there. But I do think, and this is why I bet the Rockets in games, I think there's a little kind of like that regular season apathy that the Warriors have in them still that I mean, look, they were down 17. They were down 15 plus 3 times the Blazers.
Yeah.
They have this casual, trust me, it's a frustrating trait when you back them as often as I do, but then they have those tears that they can go on. So I don't think they have the killer instinct maybe that some teams have had in the past, that I don't think there's going to be a sweep. You know, heck, we didn't even see it, you know, when they had this overloaded team. They just laid an egg in Cleveland a couple years
right.
ago. So that's why it's tricky. It's tricky. So you're right. Maybe 5 is the play and then see what happens off of that.
Yeah. I think if you like them to win their home games and to win one of the first two, then you're getting 4-1 in game 5 to finish it off really, you know, pretty often.
So
I think that's worth a look, yeah.
You like the overs. I like the under. I just don't
everyone
think
likes the unders. Look,
Toronto
game
can't
one,
score.
Game ones are 13-1 to the under in the playoffs. Toronto, every game Toronto plays goes under except for like two, I think, total. Everyone's going to point to the under. I just laid it out for you. We know that without Durant, Golden State plays at a higher tempo anyways.
Yes.
And then on the other side, like, Toronto's played against three of the best defenses in the entire league just in a row. And the Magic, if you don't even want to believe it, they're a top defense. They were literally the best defense since the All-Star break in the entire NBA. Okay, and I know they're the Magic, and they weren't very good. They actually stole game one, I think, right, in Toronto. Like, they won that game outright. Okay, the Sixers' defense was fantastic, especially when they played the starting five 44 minutes apiece or more. And then, you know, obviously the Bucks had the best defense all year in the NBA. Now you're dropping to a Warriors team, I think ranked 13th or 14th in the NBA this season, and they've been middle of the pack in the playoffs. I mean, they let the Portland Trailblazers go up 17 three times in a row. I do think there's something there. And then on the flip side, obviously, I think the Warriors offensively are a different beast than the Bucks or anyone that the Raptors have seen. So I would tend to look over. I'm not surprised it's lower. I'm not surprised it came down from 215 to 214, 214.5. I'd be wary of betting an under, though, here, especially in game one, just because, you know, all the game ones have been going under. It's just not the way to do it, even if they're 13-1 so far.
No, I agree. Obviously, you can't. I mean, how – you know, the Nuggets-Blazers game one has no impact on this game one, right? You can convince me that the Warriors do and that the previous Raptors series do. Then I'd entertain that discussion, but I don't care about, you know, Sixers-Nets game one going under. Like, I just don't. Excuse me. Yeah, my thing is I just think the Raptors are they're just stale on offense. It gets really predictable. And then Kawhi has this – it was weird. I was watching game six on Saturday, and I was like, all right, I think this is when Kawhi just says it's my time, and then just starts creating shots and scoring. It's weird. Like, they pass the ball around. They get bad shots. I'm assuming Van Vliet's not going to continue this. Maybe Danny Green picks up a little bit. But Ibaka's a train wreck on offense, except for a game here and there. And I don't know. How much is Gasol going to be able to play with the pick and roll on the other side?
I'm very intrigued by that. That's another reason I think to like the over and the pace with the Warriors being able to score on them. It's interesting the way the matchups all break down, but I think it's an over series, and generally you don't think of that when it's the NBA Finals and you think things are going to go slower and this and that, and everyone's going to be talking about the unders because that's been the hot thing so far through the playoffs for both Toronto and then just all the game ones. And I would, if I had you right now, I'd definitely be betting over in game one, but I would need something like probably 212.5, 213 before it was like a full-on bet, which I don't know if it's going to move that much or anything, but I'm just going to wait and see.
What about first half versus game, things like that?
I'd have to see if, you know, the first half line would come down, assuming the game comes down most likely. And so at that point, I'd make a decision. Bucks second halves generally have scored more over the course of the season. And you saw, like, pretty regularly in the series against the Bucks, you'd have a first half at like 106.5, 107. And then the full games would be, you know, 217, 218. That was earlier on in the series before that. Game six, but so they generally shade the first half a little bit lower in Bucks games, so I imagine it'll be similar. The Warriors are pretty straightforward, like you'd expect, where their first half's a little bit higher than their second half, and then, you know, the full game, half of the full game total. So anyway, it's something to keep in mind, though, because, yeah, Bucks games generally are shaded a little bit low. I think they led the NBA in third quarter scoring, so it's the third quarter specifically that the Bucks generally come out and just like punch you in the face. And I think they did that a few times, even against Toronto, especially those first two games at least.
So before I let you go, what's your final prediction here for the finals?
I haven't made one officially. Even when we had to, you know, write something up for Chalk that'll go up later today, I didn't make an official projection because you have to, when you're betting, you're betting based on the price, and the price say there's no value. Prices, I would have to bet the Warriors because I think that they're going to win more often, you know, 74% of the time. If I had to pick, I'd pick the Warriors. Now, if I had to pick, you know, which game they win it in, the most likely outcome is that they win in six. So there's nothing really too crazy or interesting about my pick there other than Warriors in six, because it is the one that I think happens more often than any other result. But I do think we're talking it through. If you think the Warriors win one of the first two games and they're not losing at home, betting them at four, I think I've even seen plus 450 to win in five games in Toronto, and they're going to be about pick in that game. Like, that's probably worth doing just, you know, on the chance that they do split one of these first two. So that's something to look at. But yeah, if I just had to pick my final prediction, Warriors finish it off at home in game six, I'll say no Durant at all. Steph wins MVP. I think minus 140 is a good bet there. And a couple overs when most people are going to be betting unders.
So to protect the minus 140 on the Curry on Steph, would you do Draymond a little bit at 10-1? Because I know you said you saw a scenario of that.
No, I think you do minus 140 if you think you're going to bet the Warriors at minus 300. I think it's the best option there. So, and you were like worried about the Duncan thing and the Spurs, which could happen. So I might bet some at minus 300 and then bet some at minus 140. But it just kind of limits that variance. So bet some of the series. So if the Warriors win, you're good. You win that one. But if they win, you also can maybe get a cheaper version of that by betting Steph to win MVP. So I wouldn't get too crazy betting Draymond at 10-1 too, or Durant if he comes back in two games. I wouldn't get too complicated. It's more of a cheaper version of your Warriors bet.
I don't know. I'm surprised it's not higher. I thought it'd be like $1.80.
There's some sharper places, like, you know, globally that are minus 170s, 200 even, and in Vegas he's been way cheaper, and I'm not sure if it's because they just landed there. I know they haven't really taken action yet, or if they took action just on some long shots here and there, and so that's why he's cheaper. But it has been bet up a little higher other places for what it's worth.
Copy. All right, my man, appreciate your taking the time. It was good to talk the finals. I'm excited. These games will be spread out, so be it. But nonetheless, yeah. good to connect.
Yep, absolutely. You guys take care.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes. Come on.
All right, Dop. You got that was in spirit of you because, you know, you said you're going to have to listen to the podcast before you know where to go with your money.
Exactly.
So Warriors.
I'm taking the Warriors.
Well, it's tough because there's a chance Durant can't play. So I'm going to lay the $3, but I think we're going to get news tomorrow that he's going to be out longer than we think. He is making the trip, which is good. I'm just not going to go monster heavy on it like I was planning to. I think the Warriors with Durant would smoke the Raptors. It's going to be like the role players are going to be the big difference makers. You know, I know master of the obvious, but if Looney and all those guys, like Livingston, all those guys, if they just continue to play fine and play, the Warriors will just be overwhelmed.
I agree.
I'm excited, and I like, you know, I hate to be dead wrong, so let's hope the Warriors show up in game one or game two. I like that. I'm betting the Warriors pretty big in game one.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I think that even though that we've seen what the Warriors can be with KD, we've seen what they can do without KD, and that gives me a little bit of hope, too, from that standpoint. I'm not as worried as what I would be, so I'm excited. I'll be honest. I really wanted to see Giannis make the finals, but I mean, he's a young kid. Excited to see what he has for the future, that Bucks team. But the Raptors, man, they didn't go away. They didn't quit. You know, I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for the Warriors.
No, this won't be like the Cavs a year ago.
No,
it is. Yeah, I was a little disappointed with the Bucks. I thought they were going to take care of business.
Yeah.
But I also said I didn't have a bet on the series there.
Yep.
Okay, that'll do it, buddy. So maybe we'll do another one during the finals. We'll see what the schedule gives us an opportunity.
How it plays out.
But that's our NBA Finals preview.